Hi, friends, and welcome. I am your hot mess of a host, Mary Hendricks from The Very Merry Life, your new mom friend that soon will feel like an old friend. Every week, I want you to come and join me as we cover moments in motherhood, marriage, sex, and more. Some moments worth savoring, others worth surviving, all with a laugh, pep talk, or F-bomb every now and again. I want you to come as you are, but leave the sugarcoating behind because, guys, we know how sweet it already is. So what do you say? Up for picking some daisies? And hello. Hi, guys. Welcome back to another Friday episode. As you can tell by the title, we're not only solo, but we're going to be talking about something kind of big, which I'm actually really excited about. And it's going to be a good thing. I want to first, before we jump into like what the subject material is, what I typically do for a podcast is kind of just catch you up on life. As you are listening to this episode, I could possibly be in the air on my way to California, hopefully sunny California. I don't know what the weather is going to be like. We're making my way to San Diego. I'm bringing Cassidy only, so it's just her and I on this little adventure to go visit a new nephew of mine. My brother and sister-in-law had a new baby, so we're going to go out there and just go visit him and see everyone else. And I'm really excited. I'm really excited for it, slightly also terrified because you guys know how I feel about flying, but I'm also excited that I am doing this because up until November, if you guys remember, like I haven't flown. Like it was November that I had flown for the first time in almost 6 years because the fear of flying had stopped me. And it had stopped me to a point where I hadn't been out to California to visit my brother, and I didn't meet my second nephew. This is my third nephew that just got born, but I didn't meet my second nephew because I was too scared to fly out there. And it's just, it robbed me a lot of opportunities that I don't want to continue letting it do. So that's what we're doing. We're going to go do that on Friday. Or I could be there. Hopefully I'm better be there. My anxiety is making me say that I better be there. But either way, we're traveling and we're going to make it happen. And that is that. The other side of anxiety is obviously, like I said, the flight part sucks, but the other part, and we can talk about this real quick, is I don't know if anyone else is like this. I hate leaving my kids in the care of anyone else that is not me. And that includes my husband. And my husband gets so annoyed whenever I talk about this because he takes it so personally. And I try to explain to him that it's not a personal thing. I trust him. He is the father of my children. He is as capable as I am of caring for our children. It's just an anxiety thing that I do. It's just who I am, and it sucks. It sucks. I wish I wasn't like that. I actually once talked to a friend of mine who was a mom, and I remember talking to her about this and like about taking trips away from your kids and taking breaks away from your kids. And I told her how I really struggle with that because of I worry too much, and it's hard for me to find a babysitter. It's hard for me to find, you know, care providers, and it's hard for me to like want to do date nights and things like that because it's just so much anxiety. Like even my kids the other day stayed at my mom and dad's house, and my mom and dad are perfectly trustworthy kids, the perfectly trustworthy people. They watched my kids for an entire week when we were in London. So it's, you know, I trust them wholeheartedly. It just is the way my brain works. And I had them sleep over on Sunday night this past week, and I got home and I was wrecked with anxiety, which was then giving me intrusive thoughts. It was just like the worst images popped in my head. Like what if their fire alarms don't work? What if their carbon monoxide alarms aren't working? What if a fire breaks out so quick that they can't, I think I like thought like, well, what if they have to like push them out the window and then Spencer is going to break his leg? That's how my brain works. It is wild and it's exhausting. But that's how I've been feeling up until this trip. And yesterday I was so cranky because of it. Because it's exhausting. It's so tiresome. And that's how my brain is right now, where I'm like, okay, you just need to chill out. But also, is this going to go away? If you guys are listening, if you have older kids, can you message me on Instagram and tell me if this will ever go away? Because like sometimes in moments like this, when my anxiety is so bad, I get so overwhelmed thinking that this is going to be the rest of my life worrying about my kids, even when they are grown up. Like, obviously, I know I'm going to always care about them and always love them and be concerned for their well-being. But like, will I be able to sleep soundly at night when my kids are no longer underneath my roof, like, will I be able to relax? Because I don't think so. I don't know. But back to this main story, I had a mom say to me, like, I don't feel that way. Because after telling her that that's how I feel, she was like, I don't feel like that. Like, I actually have no problem taking trips. And she goes on trips often with her girlfriends and with her spouse. And they take, you know, breaks away from her kids and things like that. And she was like, wait, does that make me a bad mom that I am able to do that? And I was like, wait, no, absolutely not. And I just want to put that out there because we see what others do as such a reflection on ourselves. And we forget that what people are doing has nothing to do with us ever. It is just based off of their own lens. And I've talked about that before, like how everyone has their own lens. And I kind of like to use the analogy of like, think about everyone wearing glasses. If you were born with glasses on, okay, and you experience different things throughout life, your glasses might get scratched up. They might get dirty. They might get fogged up. They might get bent out of shape. They might fall off your face altogether. Like whatever it may be, everyone's going to have a different lens and you cannot reach and clean it off from the outside. Like if I were to reach over to you and try and clean off your glasses and that dirt and that film is on the inside, I can't reach it. That's an inside job for you to tackle with how you view the world, you know? And we always turn when we see another parent doing something different. So like for me, having these worrisome feelings, someone, like I said, my friend was like, wait, she took that as a reflection of her own parenting. And I was like, no. Like you have to remind yourself, like I have things in life that have created this worry, that have created this whatever you want to call it, because you just don't. That's why. It's not that I'm a better mom. It's not that I love my kids more because I'm worrying so much. If anything, it's actually, I think it's a damaging thing, but you know, I just want to put that out there is, you know, it's different for everyone. Not everyone struggles with things the same way that we all do. Like I even struggle going to the doctor's office with my kids. Do you guys know this about me? Haley is probably like 6 months overdue. I actually just called the other day to book her 2-year, appointment. And I was like, I'm so sorry that I'm past due, but I struggle coming in. And I was telling my husband that, like, he knows it about me where he's like, well, do you want me just to bring her? And I'm like, no, I struggle because if we go back, like down, if we're going to talk about like, you know, what has created that, it's a fear of something going wrong. And that's the same fear that I have with my kids being not with me. It's this fear that the other shoe is going to drop. Like I even struggle with my life being too good. Like I don't like that. When everything feels too calm, I am almost waiting for that ripple to come on in and disturb the clear, that calm, still water that we're having. Like I wait for the crash and that's how I live my life and it sucks. I hate that. And that's how I feel when I leave my kids. I'm almost afraid that life is going to recognize that opportunity to come and destroy everything. But same thing with the doctor's office. Like I'm afraid of going in there and them telling me that something is wrong. And it's silly because obviously if something were wrong, not going to the doctor's office wouldn't stop that from happening. But that's how my brain works. You know, it's annoying. But I just want to put that out there in case you at all compare in any capacity. Do not. Okay. Anyway, that's life update. I'm sitting in my kitchen as I record this. If you go on YouTube, you will see that. And that's because if I go upstairs, the puppy will follow me and I don't want to. She's going to make noise. If she barks, the baby's sleeping. We're going to sit down here, puppy's sleeping, and we're going to get into the real chit chat of what all of this is about, which I'm actually very excited to share finally, because I feel like a night and day difference almost, but not completely. And this is something that if you've listened to past podcast episodes, you will have heard. Usually it's me and Katie that will joke about it, or sometimes I'll just like kind of throw it out there being like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I have this. And that's ADHD. And Katie and I know we've had an episode where we went through the symptoms and I like went on and I kind of listed out all what the symptoms are. And I'm going to pull up something that way we can list them out again together. But we've joked and I've joked and it's always been something that I have considered for myself, but have never really, what word am I going for? Have never really chased understanding or actually getting answers for. But up until recently, I have just been drowning and I said, enough is enough. I had one night of just crying to Kevin and I said, I can't do this because I was looking around my house and there were a million things that I needed to get done and I couldn't bring myself to do them. And I'm infamous for doom piles. Like I'm infamous for, we up until like 2 weeks ago, we had these like copay bills when we've gone to like the doctor or anything. It's like a $10 copay each time we go. I had about four different bills that have been sent. They were like the final bill that was sent before them saying that they're going to send it to a collection agency. And they are past due for about 4 months. They've all been sitting on my table for 4 months. And every time Kevin sees one, he's like, are you going to pay this? And it's not like a hard thing. I literally just log into my account. My credit card is already in there. I just literally have to hit a button. But for some reason, I couldn't bring myself to do it. And I'm like infamous for putting things on my stairs and ignoring them for weeks on end until someone decides to, whether that's myself or Kevin, picks them up and brings them where they need to. Like if I put something down, it's not getting up again. Like it will stay there. And it used to be something I would joke about, but in all seriousness, it was something that was starting to impact me significantly where, you know, I have this space and I have the podcast and I feel like up until this point, I've been incredibly burnt out on the podcast. And that's because I can't formulate one clear thought as to where I want this to go and what subjects I want to cover and what guests I should email and figure out. And I had an assistant up until recently. And, you know, I kind of wanted to take a step back and I took a step back before I really pursued this idea of ADHD. And I took a step back because I couldn't handle it anymore. Like I couldn't handle this overwhelm feeling from the podcast, from Instagram, social media work. Like that is my full-time work at this point. And then life, like with wanting to like, you know, get the house in order, do laundry, cook meals, like actually do things with the kids. Like it was a lot. And I honestly think it's been something that's been contributing significantly to my PMDD. And we're going to get all into that because there's so much that I've recently learned and I hope that this helps someone else. So with that being said, I'm going to go through what ADHD is first in case we can just try and understand this. In case we're just going to pretend like we're starting from scratch. Okay. So ADHD is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It's overlooked very commonly in women. Okay. So there are different ADHD symptoms in women. I'm going to kind of just read off of what I'm looking at now. And I will link all of these articles in the show notes if you guys want to read these as well. I found really interesting ones that really just like map it all out very simply to understand. So ADHD is a neurodevelopmental disorder that is manifested by inattention, impulsivity, and hyperactivity that can interfere with daily functioning and quality of life. While the exact causes of ADHD are not fully understood, there's a strong genetic component that may be influenced by environmental factors and stress. ADHD symptoms can vary among individuals and generally fall within three categories: inattention, difficulty staying focused, being organized, forgetful, procrastinating, often changing topics mid-conversation. If you have listened to past podcasts, you tell me right now that that doesn't define me like tooth and nail. It's wild. Difficulty keeping track of schedules, appointments, belongings. Yes, yes, yes. Frequently losing and misplacing items. Yes. Needing help with time management. Yes and no. I've gotten better with that one. And that's just because I've lived my life with this. And hyperactivity is another one. Restfulness, either observed or internally felt. That is me. Always moving, fidgeting, having very hard times relaxing and talking excessively. All of the above. I can check off every single one. I eat standing up for dinner time. I typically eat standing up, and that's because I cannot sit. Fidgeting. I'm currently fidgeting with my fingers. Difficulty relaxing. I don't know how to do that. And that's actually one of the things that like Miranda, who's helping me with my PMDD from the period lab, she yells at me all the time. She's like, have you taken time for you today? And I'm like, what is that? We don't know what that means. And she always tells me like, I want you laying vertically with no phone in your hand, nothing by like 10 o'clock. And then it's like 11 o'clock at night. And I'm like, derp to do on my phone. And then the last one is impulsivity, interrupting others while talking. You tell me that Katie and I don't do that to each other all the time. Making quick decisions without thinking. Yeah, a lot of the times I do that, and engaging in certain risky behaviors, I don't think so. But as a kid, yeah, absolutely. I don't know how I didn't die a lot of the times or get arrested, but that's a story for another day. Anyway, some other common characteristics include mood swings, irritability, hypersensitivity to criticism, difficulty handling stress and criticism, anxiety, low frustration, other things that are often found in women with ADHD are more anxious, more depressive symptoms, and low self-esteem, chronic stress, difficulties with relationships and social interactions and jobs. Symptoms may be exacerbated by hormonal changes. Do you see where I'm going with this? During menstrual cycles, pregnancy, menopause, other common conditions can be tics, eating disorders. That one fits me like a T, fibromyalgia. Okay. So these are all things that have been found in women. And for some reason, women are not getting the support and they're not often diagnosed. And a lot of the times what they're finding is that women are getting diagnosed usually after they have their own children that have been diagnosed. And that's usually kind of like a light bulb moment being like, oh, usually this is a genetic thing. I wonder where my child got this from. Oh shit. There I am. My children, so far, to my knowledge, don't have ADHD. I've never pursued a diagnosis with any of them where I've like been concerned. Spencer's probably my only child where it has been brought up in conversation by our doctor about potential ADHD, but I tread lightly on that. Like I'm not, as we will get into, I'm not opposed to it, but as for kids, sometimes I think just regular kid behavior gets mistaken for ADHD, and I don't want that to happen. Like my husband, he actually was put on Ritalin when he was a kid because they suspected ADHD in him as a kid, and they ended up putting him on it, and he hated it. He hated the way it changed him and slowed him down. And I think what he said is that what they figured out is I'm just a kid. Like I was just being a crazy ass kid and they thought that I had ADHD. So like that's my hesitancy. Could he have it? Absolutely. He's never struggled with it or complained about struggles with it. So I don't think so. I think he was correct in that they just kind of misdiagnosed him. But with my kids, that's not something I'm for sure diagnosing. I wouldn't be shocked though. And that's because I have it and I officially got diagnosed with it. And it's been 2 weeks now that I have been on medication for it. And it's been awesome. I'm not going to say life-changing because my life has not been overwhelmingly changed, but it is such a day and night thing where the first day that I took, I got prescribed Vyvanse when I first took it, and it was like someone turning down the dial in my head. Like it was like all this noise that I constantly have been living with my brain rattling off what I need to do and what needs to be listed out and what needs to be picked up and just everything and conversations left and right. It was like from every corner of the room, something was coming at me. It was like that got quieted down where I can actually think and I can actually take a step and I can finish what I start and I can do it in a timely manner and not feel overwhelmed by it and not feel paralyzed by it. It's been so wonderful. We'll talk about that more. But in getting to all of this, like what led me to it, again, it's all those symptoms that I just listed out. Like that has been my life. And I told you, I had a freak out moment where that noise just got to me. And I've talked about like how when there's clutter in my house, it's almost like a buzzing sensation. So imagine a buzzing constantly in your head, but then also just like your train of thought constantly going. Like I just am always hearing my voice in my head saying what I need to get done and what needs to happen next. And oh my God, that would be a great idea. And oh my God, wait, I should go do this. And oh my God, like it was just becoming an issue. And then the real kickoff for me was actually listening to a podcast episode about PMDD, because I'm really trying to like tackle this and learn from others that have PMDD. And the thing I learned is that those who have PMDD are much more likely to have ADHD. And I'm going to go through an article. This is from Medical News Today. It says some research and anecdotal, I don't know how the hell I just said that. Evidence shows that there may be a high prevalence of people who have both ADHD and PMDD, but researchers aren't exactly sure why. ADHD lowers dopamine, which can cause symptoms such as a low mood. This may explain why people with ADHD experience more severe symptoms through their menstrual cycles, because obviously as your menstrual cycles are happening, your hormones are fluctuating, and a lot of the times are, like for me, I think it's the progesterone is too low in me. So progesterone is your happy hormone. That's the thing that is supposed to, like, that's the thing that you're thriving in when you're ovulating. That's the thing that like makes you so happy. That's really low for me. And a lot of that is caused by higher cortisol levels and things like that. And I'm not getting much of a dopamine hit as I ordinarily should be. And that's why with ADHD on top of it, I'm definitely not getting that dopamine hit. So when PMDD happens and that hormone fluctuates even more to drive that happy hormone down in me, I am at the lowest of flipping lows. So imagine being super low and depressed during that week, but also I have so much noise in my head of things rattling off, telling me what things I need to get done. But then also on the other hand, I am feeling so shitty about life and about myself that I don't want to get any of those things done. It's an awful, awful combo. But in hearing about the relation amongst the two, like I think what's the, let me find this real quick because I know there's a statistic. I think it is, okay, here we go. Research from 2020 found that there are significantly higher prevalence of PMDD in women with ADHD than any other general population. The study reported that 45.5% of women with ADHD having PMDD compared to a reported 28.7% in the general population. So it's double than what it is. So if you have ADHD, you're twice as likely to have PMDD than the general public does, which is wild. I actually also know that those who have autism are much more likely to have PMDD. And the podcast episode that I listened to where I learned all about this and then, you know, was sparked to research it more, she talked about that. And I'm gonna, don't quote me, I want to say it was like 92%. Of women who have autism or, you know, that neurodivergent brain are 90% more likely to have PMDD, which is wild. But it makes sense because it's all a thing with how your brain works and chemicals and, you know, stupid chemicals. God, brains are so annoying. But that was the thing that tipped me off. When I heard that, I was like, I know that this is what I have. Like, I've always suspected ADHD, but the moment I heard that and knowing that I've been diagnosed with PMDD and that is what I'm struggling with, I was like, that's it. We're going to go talk to our doctor. We're going to figure this out. So I went to my general practitioner. There are different ways that you can go about this. You can research and you can go to like a neuro psychiatrist. Like you can go to someone that specializes in this stuff. You can go to like the behavioral psychiatrists and stuff like that. Usually those take a long time to get appointments. If you are desperate, like where I was, and I didn't know what route this was going to happen, I went to my general practitioner and they already knew about my PMDD. And I talked about that with him. And he was like, okay, let's give this a go. Let's try it for a month. We're going to try you on medication. I'm on 30 milligrams of Vyvanse, and that's like the lowest dose that you can get. And let's just see how this plays out. And then in a month, I'm going to go back. So after in about 2 weeks, I'm going to go back and we're going to do a check-in to see how I'm feeling on that dosage, see if anything needs to get adjusted. And then if we decide that that's the route for me, then we are going to, then you have to like, because they're controlled narcotic, essentially, like their stimulants. I have to like sign paperwork and I think it's like every 2 months or something crazy, I have to go in and do a P test and like make sure that I'm actually proving that I'm taking these things and not selling them on the black market. Like I have to do the real deal, you know, things that, you know, they require for such a drug. And I'm willing to do it because honestly, like I said, that first day of taking this medication, it was like not. Again, it wasn't like all of a sudden the gates opened up and I felt like a brand new human being, but it was like a wave of relief of thinking like, oh my God, this is how people actually function. Like this is what I've been missing out on. Like I felt just hopeful again. And the kicker with all that and that taking that week, what I realized, and Kev had actually gone out of town. So if you guys have been following on Instagram, Kevin was gone for a week. He was in Norway. He travels a lot. And he was gone for an entire week. So I was solo parenting for 8 days long during my PMDD hell week. And knowing that that was when things were all happening. I had such anxiety beforehand because I was like, oh my God, I am already an awful human being when I am during my hell week, as it is with Kevin home, but him not home and the kids being crazy. I think it was a full moon. I don't even know. I was like, oh, dear God, I'm going to end up traumatizing my children during this week. And I was so scared about it. But thankfully, I started the medication 2 days prior to him leaving. And let me tell you, that entire week, yeah, there were moments that I can feel like the little lowness of like PMDD. Like PMDD makes me kind of want to withdraw a lot. And the severity in the past has been substantial. Like I withdraw so much that I don't want to live. Like that's awful. But I could feel that withdrawal where I'm just kind of like, nah, I kind of want to like be inside. I don't really want to talk to a lot of people. I kind of just want to do my own thing. But it was manageable. It was manageable for me to push out of. And I was actually patient. And I think it was because my brain was quiet, where during that week, the kids could actually ask me a question and I could have the patience to respond to them. And I wasn't waking up feeling super duper tired. And I was able to get things done. I was actually, we went all week without me yelling in the morning at the kids to get to school. And I think that is huge. If you listened to the previous podcast episode, I talked about that briefly with Katie. That was big. That was huge because it's been a problem. Like, and I'm not proud of yelling and I don't want to like, you know, boast about that. Like, I think some parents are like proud of the fact that they're a yelling parent. Like I'm not, I don't like doing it. It makes me feel like shit. And to have a week, especially during that whole week, to not do that because that medication just made my brain feel put together. It was amazing. It was amazing. And now I'm going on 2 weeks. Yeah, I think it's 2 weeks now that I've been on it and I feel great. I honestly feel kind of the same. And I'm, you know, the first couple of days I was a little nervous because I had like, if you've ever taken any of the stuff, it kind of gives you like a little bit of, because it's a stimulant, it gives you that feeling like you drink a lot of caffeine. So you get that wave of anxiousness for a second where all of a sudden you're kind of like, okay, I got to take a deep breath. And then you're back again, but you have to do that frequently. Or sometimes it feels like you have to move faster and things like that. Like I haven't had any of that. That all kind of went away around day four, where now I'm fine. I could actually, I took it this morning. I could probably go take a nap right now. Like it doesn't feel like I am high. Like I don't feel high. I don't feel like I want to go organize closets or anything. I just feel clear and I feel quiet where what I decide to do at this moment will get done. And I'm not stressed about it because that was probably the biggest thing is that it was the silliest overwhelm over the simplest of things that would just hit me. And it became procrastination. It was like action procrastination. I don't know what it was, but it was like, I have a chapstick bottle right in front of me right now. Like it would be something so simple where I could easily go put that in my junk drawer and I couldn't physically bring myself to do it. For some reason, it was like I was being bound to not take action on it because it was too overwhelming. And it's so goofy sounding. And it's like, I know to some people you might not even understand it, but if you can try to understand it, then that's what ADHD feels like. It's awful. And I don't feel like that anymore. And I'm like really excited about that. Life hasn't changed drastically, but I think the whole PMDD thing is going to be much easier to handle now that it's there. And now that I have this tool, it is something that I will have to watch for. Like the doctor, because of PMDD, he was like, let's watch the anxiety factor, especially during your hell week, because obviously like this stuff can give you anxiety. So let's just make sure that you are feeling okay, because obviously I'm very open about the PMDD stuff. And he obviously just wants to make sure I'm in the right headspace and whatnot. And then obviously like the other things is just like watching that I'm eating and that I'm drinking water and that I'm not losing sleep. And I'm thankfully not. The first 3 days I was a little bit where I could tell that there was a stimulant in my system where it was a little bit hard for me to fall asleep. And like I said, it was around day four that I actually was able to fall asleep without anything else needed. Like I think the first 3 days I took like a Tylenol PM because I was like, I just need to quiet down my brain. And I took a melatonin. And then now I don't need to do any of that where I can go fall asleep on the couch right now. And it's wild. It's a wild, wild thing, but I'm so thrilled to have it in my life. And I just want to share that with you because I think I can only imagine how many women are going through their life right now undiagnosed. And it's because we are fantastic at masking symptoms. And I think women in general, like how often do you hear it? Like we are constantly told that we are great multitaskers. Like we're moms, especially once you're a mom, like we're multitasking is our job. Like multitasking and the way our brains work is our job. And I think that is a perk of women. And like women do have the ability to do multiple things at once and have multiple trains of thought at once. But not all women should be feeling paralyzed because of it. And there are women who are, and I can tell, like going back through my life where I'm like, I know that this is why, like, I think this is even why I've been a huge introvert my entire life. Like, I think some people are shocked by that because I am outgoing and I do share my life. And if I meet you in person, trust me, I'm going to be so outgoing and I'm going to have a good time. But ordinarily, I am an introvert. I want to be home. And I think a big reason for that is the idea of seeing others out is so overwhelming to me because daily life up until this point has felt overwhelming to me. So getting that, like that in my brain, like I actually want to go out and see my friends and I want to create more events to go see my friends. And I feel like I actually have the capacity to do so again. And that is so nice. But like, I also think back on like job experiences as a kid, like, or once I graduated college, like I was always hopping from job to job, hoping to find the fit that would motivate me because I was never motivated in anything that I was doing. And I always felt like such shit about it where I was like, what's wrong with me? Like, I don't understand what's wrong with me right now that I am not feeling passionate about this or that I'm not feeling like I want to do this right now. Like, I hated work. Like I hated it. And that could have been a big reason in that I actually did hate it. Or it could have been the fact that I just couldn't find the motivation. Like all of it was paralyzing to me. It was an awful, awful feeling. I did well. I did really well as a kid in school. And I think that was why it was probably never recognized because I think some ADHD in kids shows up in, you know, poor study habits and poor test preparation and poor schooling and things like that. But that wasn't me. Like I was always crediting myself that I thrived under pressure. And the more I had on my plate, the better I did. And I think it was because it forced my hand to get better at time management. But if thinking about like little things, I was always losing my homework. Like I was always famous for like misplacing my homework and not bringing it home or forgetting a book at school or forgetting about an important quiz or like I always did it. I managed to figure it out. And I think, you know, thankfully I was a smart kid. Like I retained information well. But it was a struggle. And I think it was overlooked. I think it was just overlooked, like a lot of other people's are. And so I wanted to share this episode in hopes that maybe this is like the spark you need to go ask some questions and go express some concern. If you are drowning in your life, like I was, like this might be it. And I, you know, it's no different than me sharing my PMDD experience. Like I shared that as honestly as I possibly could because it sucks. It sucks when you feel like you are alone and struggling about it. And a lot of people didn't know, and still people don't know what PMDD is. Like I get questions on the reel that I shared about the PMDD episode where people are like, wait, what is that? And we don't know. And I think ADHD is one of those things that I think we only associate with little kids, and we mostly only associate it with boys and not girls. And it's wild because our brains function very similarly. So I hope that this helps. Please message me on Instagram if at all you have questions, either at the Picking Daisies podcast or you can head over to The Very Merry Life and I'd be happy to share more about it. I really haven't opened up much on stories yet about it. I will. I've been kind of just feeling it out. I don't like this stuff to be clickbaity. So I'm sharing this and I'm probably going to be pointing people over to the podcast and being like, here, listen to this first and then we'll talk about it. Same thing with PMDD. Like I don't want to use this as something that's like going to garner sympathy or garner views. Like I think sometimes people do that where they kind of share their medicalness or they share their medical diagnoses or they wait in order to be able to create content around it. And I don't really want to do that because I'm still figuring it out. Like with PMDD, I'm still figuring this out. Like I don't even have answers. Like there's not anything that I have done that has taken that away. I don't think PMDD is something that I can share with an answer to. Like it's, I don't have that. I have just, that's all things that I share. I don't have answers to anything for the most part. I just have experience in it. And I think sometimes that's enough. And that this is just one of those other things that I have experience so far in, and I'm figuring it out and I'm navigating it. And I'm just sharing it in hopes that it might be the thing for you in case you're feeling like I was, because it's awful. It's absolutely awful. But like I said, this has not been a day and night thing. So you got to know that if you do pursue this and you do get on medication and things like that, like don't expect life to all of a sudden like take a 360. Like it's not something where you are going to be completely different. Like it's going to take work and you're still going to have to, you know, be good about like your lifestyle changes and getting to bed on time and making sure you're eating and making sure that your, you know, time management skills are there and things like that. But it is significantly helping. And I'm excited to see this continue. I don't know if I will play around with dosing because 30, I feel fairly normal on. I feel it more in the morning. Like when I first take that pill, it's about like an hour and a half afterwards where all of a sudden I like get that first rush. You could tell where like the medication's clicking in. But after that, I'm like, I don't know. It's, what time is it now? It's 1:30 in the afternoon. So I'm like, I'm good. I could go take a nap. You know, things like that. But we'll see. We'll see where this leads. I'm pumped. I'm pumped. I actually told Katie about it last episode and I was like, this is your sign to go explore this yourself. You never know. And especially for all my PMDD ladies, like this is just one of those things that like I had no clue about, but it makes so much sense now that I have it. And I think that's the most relieving part of all this is that I finally feel like I have more answers to my PMDD and more help for my PMDD because I finally have stepped up to address this. And I hope it does the same for you. So anyway, that's what's going on in this world. I'm going to leave it at where we're at. We're at 36 minutes, so that's pretty good. And the next time you catch us, I think Katie is going to be coming back for another episode. Hopefully, we've been kind of off, her and I, just with like, our lives are so crazy right now where it's just hard. But we'll get her on. And then I have guests that I'm lining up and getting on soon. So anyway, love you guys. Thanks for being here. And I'll catch you guys again. Another episode down. Thank you all so much for listening. If you love today's episode, I would be so appreciative if you would leave a rating and review. I cannot begin to tell you how much those mean to me, but also how much they help me get in front of more eyes and more ears. As always, be sure to check back every Tuesday and Friday for a new episode, whether it's an episode with me, me and my husband, me and Katie, or just another incredible, amazing guest. Stay tuned for more honest, real, raw chit-chat. And hey, do me a favor before you go. Remind yourself how amazing you are, how enough you are, how special you are, and boy, oh boy, I sure am glad to have you here. Thanks, friend.